Do I think we'll be up 20% this year? I mean, one, that's probably the base case, but I think there's a chance we could be up a lot more than that.
Welcome to Wealthion. I'm Wealthion founder Adam Taggart. Rising inflation, spiking interest rates, and geopolitical disruption made 2022 a bruising year for stocks and bonds. All three of those issues remain factors here at the start of 2023, which is why perhaps it's little surprise many of the recent experts appearing on this program have urged caution for investors looking at the year ahead. But a growing number of Wealthion's viewers are saying, okay, we understand the reasons for pessimism, but what do the bulls think? Is there an optimistic argument to be made? The answer is yes, and today's guest expert gives us the opportunity to hear that side of the story. Tom Lee, managing partner and head of research at Fundstrat Global Advisors, is often referred to as the biggest bull on Wall Street. He forecasts the S&P is poised to rise 20% in 2023. Tom, it's wonderful to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, great to see you.
Thanks. Well, Tom, a lot of questions here for you, but let's just start with a very high-level one I like to ask all my guests here at the beginning. What's your current assessment of the global economy and financial markets?
If you have an hour, we can discuss that. I think the global economy has endured a lot of things in the past couple of years, and it's actually held up shockingly well. I would have, if you asked me if gasoline and natural gas prices were going to go up 1,700% in Europe, what would happen to Europe? I would have told you they'd be in a depression, and Europe even looks like it's escaping a recession. I mean, that's about as good a soft landing as you can get in an economy that's languishing. And for all those who've said the U.S. has been in a recession since 2022, because as you know, a lot of people started making those claims in February of last year with GDP, the U.S. economy not only looks like it is sort of still quite resilient, but it looks like because of the drop in gasoline, actually growth is accelerating. So I'd say that despite what people are claiming and how they might feel in their personal bias, I think the global economy is actually shockingly strong.
All right. Shockingly strong for a global economy. And as I mentioned in the intro, you're projecting a 20% growth in the S&P. So you think that's actually going to translate into a much better year for the stock market this year or the financial markets?
Let's just start with consensus, because it doesn't matter what I think. When people talk about markets, they like to either say that they know the future, but, let's look at where consensus is. So on the sell side, we know that only one strategist out of 25, excluding myself, thinks the market will do more than up 5% this year. Okay, so the vast majority of the sell side says the market is flat or down. And so that's where the sell side is. And on the buy side, we know that growth positioning on the institutional side is very low. So institutional investors are actually, and they've increased their short positioning on technology. And retail investors have actually been bearish at near record levels. So if you ask me where markets are going to be, well, it looks like everybody's bracing for a pretty bad outcome. But history and even the first month of this year is arguing the opposite. I mean, if you look at the last 70 years, after a negative year, which was last year, 53% of the following years are over 20% gains. So you have, as a base case, greater than 50% chance the market's up 20%.
You get historical reversion to the mean on your side here. Yeah.
Well, that's three times the historical average. And then we've had a lot of strong signals start this year. If the VIX falls, which it has, and it sustains lower, then 96% of the time the market will be up over 20%. So we're almost positioned for that. And then if you look at the first 5 days, the market was up more than 1.5%. And again, there's only one instance in history where that didn't lead to at least 15% gains for the rest of the year. And then we had a multiple breadth thrust. So to me, the stock market is speaking a very different language than what people are saying. And I think it's actually more in sync with how the economy is looking. So do I think we'll be up 20% this year? I mean, one, that's probably the base case, but I think there's a chance we could be up a lot more than that.
Okay. And wow, that would be music to a lot of investors' ears if that indeed actually happened. All right. Well, you gave me a lot of things to dig into here. Let me just bang through some of these macro questions first, and then we'll get back to the markets. Obviously, a huge thing that drove the action in 2022 was inflation and the Fed's and the other major central banks' response to it. Why don't we start with interest rates? Because that seems to be, you know, where everyone's focused right now. Do you have a particular projection as to what's going to happen there? You know, is Jerome Powell going to get to his 5% and be able to hold out there for a long time? Or is that going to cause something to break?
Yeah, it's a great question, Adam. You know, the Fed has reiterated their view that they're going to get to 5% on Fed funds. And that's on a game plan that assumes inflation is incredibly sticky. In fact, as you know, in December, they raised their inflation forecast dramatically from their September forecast. So in three months, they increased what they thought 2022 inflation would be on core to 4.8% from 4.2. From 4.5. And they said that that's the jumping point to justify getting to 5% in 2023. Well, the bond market doesn't believe this for a minute because the 2-year is on its way to 4%, which is almost 100 basis points below where they are saying they're going to be. And the 10-year is at 3.4%. It's way below where the Fed funds is expected to be. And I think the Fed might have even overshot in terms of their forecast, because if you look at December CPI and apply that monthly number to core PCE, which is what the Fed looks at, core PCE this year is probably going to come in at 4.2%, 60 basis points below what the Fed forecast just 3 weeks ago. I think there's been a unforced error in the Fed's forecast that the bond market has picked up. I think the bond market is saying that there is a huge collapse coming in inflation. And so do I think the Fed has to reconcile it? In a way, yes, because right now the Fed and the bond market have a huge battle and a difference in opinion, and we'll just see what happens in 2023.
Okay, does your outlook, 20% baseline, et cetera, is that counting or depending on the Fed having to stop sooner than it's expecting, or is your outlook basically immaterial what the Fed's doing here?
Adam, I think I know what you're asking, but just think of it this way. All your guests that come on make the same generalized statement that inflation's tough to kill. You have to have an extended period of high rates, or they might say this is the 70s and inflation's sticky. I don't know if any of them actually have done any of the work, because if you look at the diffusion, you know, over almost 60% of CPI components are actually now deflation, outright decline. On a weighted basis, it's 34%. Which is above the 30% 50-year average. The break-evens are telling the story. Inflation break-evens are already back down to 2%, which is pre-2019 levels. And so the bond market has already said the Fed is done, but the stock market pundits that people you have keep saying they take the Fed at face value. I think that's really the question to reconcile, is what is the bond market seeing that the stock market's not seeing?
Yeah, I will say we've had some that maybe are on the other end of the scale where they think that the Fed is going to over-tighten, or probably already has over-tightened. And, you know, we still have the delayed effect of a lot of the rate hikes that have already been made. And their concern is that the economy can't handle interest rates, not only at 5%, but maybe not even can handle interest rates where they are right now for a long period of time, and that something serious is going to break, and that if there is a change in Fed policy, it's going to be to scramble to try to fix some damage or whatnot. I don't get a sense that you have that worry so much, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, I would say that's probably, as you probably agree, is a consensus view. Almost everyone says that they're reading off the same playbook. if the bond market believed that, then corporate bond spreads should be widening.
Should be a lot wider. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I would say, again, the bond market is looking at a soft landing at a time when every stock market pundit says we're going to crash.
Okay. Well, let's move on to earnings then, because that's also been another sort of hot topic of debate. I would say, you know, most of the folks that appeared on this program have said, if you look at earnings forecasts for 2023, you know, they don't really seem to be taking into consideration any sort of continued softness in the economy. I believe they're still, you know, fairly sanguine compared to, you know, earnings from last year. And given higher interest rates, higher cost of capital, you know, you think economic growth might be better than what most expect, but it's probably not going to be roaring back unless you feel that way. I guess my question, you know, their sentiment is earnings estimates are too high, and as the data starts coming in from, you know, earnings season at the beginning of the year here, analysts may be forced to start bringing their estimates down, and that's going to impact market valuations. What would your counter to that be?
You know, let's just ask everybody at the end of 2022, were they valuing the stock market on 2022 earnings or 2023? And the answer is nobody was looking at 2022 earnings right at the end of 2022. So if you're asking someone, why will the market be up in 2023? Well, roll forward to December 2023. Is anyone going to be looking at 2023 earnings? No, they're going to look at next year. And if your guests tell you that earnings are going to be down 2 years in a row, great. Then congratulations. That's why the stock market will be down in 2023. If they're pointing to the fact that earnings are down in 2023, well, that's why the market was down in 2022. In fact, if you look at the last 70 years and you say how much of a factor is negative or versus positive earnings, it has almost no statistical difference in those years. In fact, the average return differential is only 70 basis points on the stock market. It has almost no effect. The biggest influence on equity returns this year is going to be volatility. But on the bigger question, you know, are earnings going to be declining? You know, I think that the flaw in almost everyone's analysis is that they're using traditional surveys like PMIs to determine what they think earnings will do. But they're forgetting that the PMIs are being impacted not because of the business cycle, but because of monetary policy. So it's a business cycle. It's not a business cycle induced drop in the PMIs, which are, it's, you know, basically operational surveys, sentiment surveys. It's driven by monetary policy. That's a completely different earnings dynamic. In fact, what affects earnings? Dollar is probably going to weaken this year. Inventory correction, well, that already happened. So that inventory correction is behind us. That's a huge swing on EPS historically. And then if you look at the global economy, if Europe and China are recovering, well, I don't know. I mean, I'd be hard pressed to say that that's going to be a drag for earnings. So to me, not only does earning pessimism seem overdone, but I think people then have to make the second conclusion that are they going to be correct that it actually affects equity returns?
Okay, great. So you're even saying some of these forecasts of earning weakness may be even unjustified given some of the factors you just mentioned. And I'm glad you mentioned the dollar. I'm just curious, what are your particular reasons why you expect the dollar to weaken this year? You know, is it just because it's got to have some sort of, you know, pullback from the strength we saw last year, or are there any sort of fundamental factors that you think are going to be weakening the dollar?
Well, currencies are pretty tough to forecast. And, you know, the dollar's been very strong, but part of that has been differentials in monetary policy. So the Fed has been hawkish relative to other central banks. And that's what's been supportive of a stronger dollar because of higher interest rates. But the opposite dynamic is taking place. The bond market today says the Fed is going to be flipping dovish at a time when the ECB and other central banks may have to flip a little more hawkish, including the Bank of Japan. So that would really argue for other currencies to have relative strength, which would be a weaker dollar.
Okay, totally get that. You mentioned China. I think you also said the EU, but let's start with China because I think that one's a little bit clearer. You know, China is going to be opening up this year. after, you know, a couple of years of real severe constriction of their economy. How big a factor do you think that's going to be?
It could be a good or bad thing.
Contribution to global growth.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good or bad thing because, look, at the end of the day, you know, if you were to just be empirical, China normalizing is the last economy to normalize. And I've heard people say, well, that's going to drive the global economy into a recession. I think that sounds, it's possible, but it seems a little preposterous to me.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, what is the logic there if China normalizes?
Well, the logic is that it's going to cause commodity prices to surge, and that'll be another commodity shock.
Okay.
But the reality is that China is normalizing, and that not only is a recovery in a lot of consumer demand, but it's also a recovery in supply chain. So to me, it essentially will ultimately obliterate the last inflationary goods driver. So I think that is a good thing. And from a risk premium perspective, if the China economy is already going through its awkward opening, which everybody said was going to be riddled with risk, well, if that risk is behind us, you've now taken out another tail event. And so I think that's another reason why PE should expand.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. All right. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you don't seem too worried about a recession, at least here in the US. Is that a true comment?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's correct, Adam. Just remember, in any year, the chance of a recession is 1 in 5. The US goes through a recession every 5 years. So the question is the risk of a recession 100%? I mean, one, if it is, well, you know, we've already fallen 20%. So,
right.
You know, in a way, the market's just
yeah. Let me restate my question. You don't seem worried that if there's a recession, it's going to be any worse than what's already priced into the markets. I guess is probably a better way to say it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's probably the best answer. What the investors should ask themselves today, what is the imbalance that the Fed needed to eliminate as part of the cleansing associated with tightening? Okay. Like mm-hmm. In past cycles, it was highly levered households. That was the GFC. And in 1999, in retrospect, it was overinvestment in technology, but 9/11 made it much worse. So that was really the shock that made the 2001 so much worse. And then in 2022, everyone will say, oh, it's because the labor market's so tight that you got so much inflation, or that, you know, inflation's out of control. Well, reality is inflation's pretty much hit a brick wall. And in terms of wages, I mean, everything's corroborating that actually total labor income's growing at 3.5%, which is the Fed's target. So that despite what everyone says, the labor market is not really strengthening. So, you know, what do people think the Fed has to fight? I actually think the Fed is realizing the bond market's message could be right. The bond market is saying there is no fight in inflation left. And if that's correct, the Fed will pause, and they might say they need to be extended, but the bond market is saying that's not going to be happening. So, you know, you have to really, your viewers have to ask themselves, does the Fed know something the bond market doesn't? First of all, the Fed's framework looks like it's been kind of undermined because the inflation's coming in 60 basis points below their forecast. But second, almost everyone said this was going to be an extended period of inflation. Globally, it's falling off. I mean, look at India's PPI today, it undershot by 100 basis points. I mean, inflation's just completely disappearing globally.
Yeah. And also, you know, if I ask you, who's got a better batting record, the bond market or the Fed? It's not really any contest, is it?
Yeah. Well, if the bond market's right, we're up over 20% this year. So that's maybe what your viewers have to really ask themselves. Do they want to bet on the pundit saying the market's flat, or the bond market saying we'll be up 20? Bond market volatility has utterly imploded.
Well, all right, Tom, this has been great. Really appreciate it. If you've got any parting words for, you know, investors that are just trying to chart their course, through this coming year. Would love to hear it. But also, where should people go to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah. Well, Adam, I think the one thing I really want investors to appreciate is that, you know, there are times when markets are going to panic. And it's not necessarily directionally wrong, but the magnitude is wrong. And I think last year was a year where everybody panicked about inflation. And just recall the hyperbole. People said we'd be getting to double-digit inflation. The Fed would have to get to 20%, or the Fed would have to crash the economy. And at the end of the day, where by December, inflation is running back at around 2% on three-month annualized. I mean, it's literally back to close to the Fed's target. And now they have to ask themselves, well, does that mean you have to increase the war on inflation this year, or do you pull back? If you pull back, the stock market's going to rally. I think that they can find us several ways. You know, we communicate primarily with our customers through fsinsight.com, and they can go to that website and sign up for a free trial. They can find us on Twitter, but we don't really use Twitter to communicate primary content. We just mainly retweet. So if they really want to be on the leading edge of what we're saying, they need to come to our website.
Excellent. All right. When we edit this, Tom, I'll put up the URLs to your website and your Twitter so that folks know exactly where to go. It's been a real pleasure having you on, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yep. Good talking to you, Adam. Take care.
All right. Well, in wrapping things up here, folks, we're continuing my practice of providing my key takeaways from these interviews. If you'd like to read mine from this interview with Tom, just go to wealthion.com/Adam's Notes. You can read them there for free. Also, as we talk about every week on this program, there's going to be likely lots of twists and turns and surprises in the market. If Tom is right that the markets end up going over up over 20% this year, that's going to surprise an awful lot of folks. We highly recommend that you work under the guidance of a professional financial advisor who takes into account all of the macro trends that Tom and I talked about today, but that my experts and I talk about on this channel week after week, and definitely one that can react to any surprising changes on the ground, many of which Tom just told us to look out for here this year. If you've got a good one that's already doing that for you, great, stick with them. But if you don't, or you'd like a second opinion from one who does, feel free to schedule a free consultation with the financial advisors that Wealthion endorses and who come on this program with me every week. It doesn't cost anything to talk to them, totally free. There's no commitment to work with them. They just offer it as a public service to help as many people as possible prudently position for what may lie ahead. To set up one of those consultations, just fill out the short form at wealthion.com and we'll connect you with those folks. And last, if you've enjoyed having Tom on this program, hearing the bullish side of the argument, and Tom really seems like he's quite optimistic about the markets this year. And if you'd like to see other great guests like him too, please support this channel by hitting the like button, then clicking on the red subscribe button below, as well as that little bell icon right next to it. Look forward to seeing you all later on this week. We've got a great guest lineup for the rest of the week. Thanks so much for watching. Thank you.